Let's go ahead and get there, and then we'll pray and get started. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning and this opportunity to be in the house of God. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here today. Lord, I thank you for the power of your presence, for the witness of your spirit. Lord, I thank you that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, we thank you that we can come into this place and set our hearts upon you. And Lord, I pray that you would speak into our lives today, that you would mold us, direct us, that you would change us. And Lord, we pray for revelation to flow in the house of God today. Lord, I ask for that anointing to preach and teach as you desire. And Lord, we all ask for that anointing that we can hear and receive what the Spirit of God is speaking to us today. And Lord, we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody says, amen, amen. In Acts chapter 14, we're going to be beginning in verse number 1 this morning, but I want to tell you that there's a battle going on for you. The battle is actually for your soul. How many of you are aware that there's a battle for your soul? Amen. How many of you know that the devil don't take a day off? You may think he's taking a day off, but he never takes a day off because he is your enemy. The Bible says that he's your adversary, the devil. Amen. How many of you know he's not God's adversary, right? He's yours. Amen. If God told him to roll over and stop existing, guess what? He wouldn't exist. Amen. He's a created being, and he is our adversary, and there is a war against you, and there's a war against your soul. But the war for your soul starts a lot of times in your mind. A lot of times the enemy will wage the fiercest battles between your ears. And one of the things I want to share with you this morning is God wants to give you an equipment. God wants you to know how to defend yourself. God wants you to know how to fight back. God wants you to be aware of the onslaught of the enemy against you, because the enemy is defeated. Amen. But he works through lies and deception and manipulation and secrecy and darkness. And one of the things that we'll be doing today is showing you here in the Word of God how God desires for you to be fortified and defended against his attack on you. Amen. And I want to tell you that the devil, he doesn't play with his meat. Amen. The devil don't play with his food. Amen. He devours. It says the devil devours. Jesus said in John chapter 10 that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to play and pretend and patty cake. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we need to know and understand that our adversary never takes a day off. He's continually against us, and he wants to destroy us. And some of you that have walked with God a long time, you need to know that perseverance is a requirement of God. You're going to have to persevere unto the end. We do not hold to once saved, always saved. Amen. You have to continue in the faith as you began in the faith. You have to continue, and you must persevere until the last day. Amen. And the enemy, the adversary, is continually going to be waging war against you up until the last day. He never takes a day off. If you ever think that the devil took a day off in your life, you have been deceived, and he started to pull the wool over your eyes, and you've started to lower down the defenses. And sure as the sun comes up, the day that you lower those defenses, the missiles will hit. And I want to tell you this morning in Acts chapter 14, I want to share with you a thought on this, that there's a need in the church of God to not only start out on the right path, but to continue in it. Let's read in verse 1 and 2 this morning. It says, it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Let's say amen. Amen. I mean, they preached, and the Jews and the Greeks, they believed. Amen. And the thing is, you know, a lot of people will stop right there. They say, we preached, the Jews and the Greeks believed, hallelujah. Hallelujah indeed. But the devil don't stop after you say hallelujah. Because whatever God is building up, the devil desires to tear down. In you personally, as you get built up in the faith, the devil wants to tear you down. A marriage, as a marriage gets strong in the Lord, the devil wants to tear it down. When a home gets founded on the rock, the devil wants to tear it down. when a church gets set on the rock of Jesus Christ, the devil wants to tear it apart. When a nation turns its face towards God, the devil wants to tear it down. Amen? And you see, these people, they believed, and a lot of people, they'll say, man, we had a great church, we believed, and wow, hallelujah. But I want you to see what happens next. And I thank God for each and every one of you in this place that has believed. I thank God for you. But I want you to know that the battle don't stop there. Amen? The battle don't stop. Look at this next verse in verse number 2. It says, but the unbelieving Jews, so these were the scoundrels, so they went and preached, and a lot of the Jews and Greeks believed, but there was some that didn't believe. How many of you know there's still some unbelievers in the world? Not a little, there's a lot. Jesus said that the many go on that path of destruction. There's more that will go to hell than to heaven. Contrary to popular Christianity, there's more that's going to hell than into heaven, according to Jesus. And that should sober us up. That should sober us up real quick. There's a lot of nice people, a lot of good people, a lot of loving people, a lot of benevolent people, a lot of squeaky clean people that'll be in hell. Because unless a person is born again by the Spirit of God, calling on the name of Jesus, they won't go. No matter how squeaky clean they lived, no matter how much money they gave to the poor, no matter what good deeds they did, they will suffer eternally in hell unless they are born again according to Jesus. Jesus said you can't even see heaven unless you're born again. And so this unbelieving group of Jews, they got together and they did something. Look what it says in verse 2. It says the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. These were some of the believers. And made their minds evil affected against the brethren. I want to tell you this morning that it is possible for you to get stirred up, but to get stirred up in the wrong way. It is possible the devil stirs folks up. Amen. A lot of times we talk about getting stirred up in the church, and I want to tell you, sometimes you get stirred up in the wrong direction. And if you're not careful, the enemy will stir you up and begin to set you against the plan and the purpose that God has for your life, for your family, for your church, for your country. The enemy here sowed seeds into the Gentiles as they believed. And I want you to see what happened. It says he made their minds evil affected. The battle started right there between the ears. Right there between the ears. And I want to tell you that shows you when the enemy begins to stir you up in the wrong direction, he's coming for your mind first. That's not the end game. That's not where he stops, but that's where he starts. He's going to start in your mind. He's going to plant thoughts in your head. He's going to plant thoughts in your head, and he's going to do different items off of that. He's either going to bring condemnation or get you set off in the wrong direction. But they got stirred up in the wrong direction. What I want to tell you about this morning is what this word stir up means. It means to be roused up. It means to be excited against. There was a stirring that these unbelieving Jews created in these people, and it set them against the plan and the purpose of God. And I want to tell you this morning that God's desire is that we would be stirred up in a godly way, not in an ungodly way, okay? That we would be stirred up in a godly way, not in an ungodly way. First and foremost, let me tell you a couple of things that you need to know about being stirred up. When the enemy begins to stir you up, I want to tell you, first off, God is enough. God is enough, and God has given you enough resources to defend against the enemy. So we're not trying to unpack something that's just some unsearchable thing. I want to tell you, God is enough. And God has given you enough resources to defend against the onslaught of the enemy. What do I mean by that? God's enough. If you don't know anything else, you don't know Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. You don't know how to take captive the thoughts. You don't know how to wage war in the spirit. You haven't read the books by all the authors. And you don't know Greek and Hebrew and Latin. Let me tell you, you know the name of Jesus, and God is enough. If you would just simply cry out to God, if you would just say, help me, God, Jesus, I'm calling on you. I don't know where all these attacks are coming from, and I don't know what to do with them, but God, I need help. And I want to tell you that God will take that dark, cloudy sky and he will break it in half. And the light of God's glory will shine down upon you. God is enough. Amen. And if you don't get anything else out of this, one of the things I want you to get out of this is that when you're going through the storm and you're going through the battle and the enemy starts planting those thoughts in your head and you start getting discouraged and you start getting downcast and you start pulling back from God and you're not stirred up in the Spirit anymore and you're not going forward in the power of God anymore, if you'll just, you don't know what else to do, call on the name of Jesus. Amen. The Word of God says he's been given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And you say, you know what? I'm downcast and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Amen. But sometimes you just need to know that God is enough. You may not know all the secrets, and you may not know all the different passages to turn to. You may not have the Thompson Chain reference Bible, amen? You may not have all that kind of equipment in your tool bag yet, but you have the name of Jesus, and that's enough, amen? That is enough. Amen. And sometimes we overcomplicate things in the church. Sometimes we get people going down a path and we get them all, you know, they look foolish with all the kind of contraptions that we have for them. Amen. But the reality is if you'll just call on the name of Jesus when that enemy starts attacking you, when you start seeing in your life that you're not where you once were, when the Spirit of God is not alive and bubbling over in your soul like he once was, when the fire of God has been diminished in your life, don't settle for a small fire. Don't settle for the embers. Amen. God wants you to have overflowing. Amen. God wants you to have that overflow. Jesus said, when you believe on him, out of your belly will flow what? Trickles? Trickles of cool fountain? No. Trickles. Trickles. Trickles or rivers? Come on, y'all. All I hear is trickles. He said, when you believe on him, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. We need to hear rivers flowing in the church again. Amen. It's time for those fountains to be unplugged and the rivers of life to begin to flow in the church of God. Amen. You may not know what to do, but call on the name of Jesus and let the rivers flow in your life again. Amen. Amen. The Word of God says that that praying in the Spirit, that is how we edify ourselves. Amen. Sometimes when you're going through that storm and you're going through that battle, you just need to start praying in the Holy Ghost and let the rivers begin to flow. And what you'll find is that rising tide has done lifted the boat. You'll find that you're not downcast anymore. You're not discouraged anymore. You're not in the darkness anymore. You still don't know how you're going to pay for that bill. You still don't know how you're going to get over this situation. But what you'll find is when you pray in the Spirit, that river begins to lift up the boat. Amen. And one of the things that God's called us to do is to know that he is enough. Say that with me. He is enough. He's enough. Amen. One of my favorite prayers I ever prayed. I remember I was so overwhelmed. I felt like I had a gorilla on my back pressing me down. I was so overwhelmed. And I remember I was just pressed down and I was down on my knees and I was just crying and I was just heavy, burdened. And I didn't know what to pray. I didn't know what the burden was. How many of you have been there before? I was so burdened, I could not put my finger on why I was burdened. I had so many issues going on, I couldn't even begin to tell you where to start at. How many of you been there before? You don't even know how to unroll this thing. It's like when you talk to somebody and you say, what's going on in your life? And they say, well, how much time you got? Because this onion's got a lot of peels. And I remember being so burdened and I was so overwhelmed and I couldn't put my finger on why and what the issue was. And I was just weeping before God. And then I just said, oh, God, just like that. I didn't say it in Greek or Hebrew. I didn't call on Yahweh or Yeshua. I didn't look up the Strong's Concordance for proper prayer manual. You know what I did? I said, "Oh God." And you know what happened? That thing broke off me. It broke. The minute that last syllable went out of my mouth, the Spirit of God broke that despondency and despair off my life, and the light of God came on my soul. And then I was weeping, but not for the despair and the darkness, but because God broke it off and the glory of God came down. Amen. And I want to tell you that there's times in our life that the enemy will begin to wear us down and bring on these things and plant these thoughts in our minds and in our hearts. And you need to know, above everything else, God is enough. Amen. And if you'll call on the name of Jesus, you need to call on his name and know that the river will flow. Amen. Not a trickle, a river. Amen. And look, God's not looking for the words that you say. Amen. How many of you know God can't be formulated? God's not looking for you to say the right formula. God's looking for that sincerity in your heart, calling on the name of the Most High God. Amen. I know a lot of people, they'll talk about Jesus. They'll talk about Jesus, and they'll pray these long pontificating prayers, and they'll use all the flinging the stars and planting all these, and they'll say all these eloquent words, but they were never close to God. And I know other simplistic folks that'll just cry out, "Jesus!" And I mean, the rivers will flow. Because God's looking for the sincerity of the soul. He's looking in your heart. Amen? So don't think that you can formulate your way through situations and problems. God's waiting on us to humble ourselves and call on the name of the Most High, knowing and believing and depending on the reality that my God is enough. My God is sufficient. Amen. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And when I call on him, he hears me, because he said when you call on the name of Jesus, he said he would hear. Amen. Not only is God enough and we can cry out to him, but he has given you every resource that you need. There's not one resource that you need for your situation that God's withheld. You might say, I need $20 so I can pay this bill. Well, God hasn't withheld from you the resource that you need. What do I mean by that? The Holy Ghost. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you the Holy Ghost. Through the Holy Spirit, he gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. Through the Holy Spirit, he gives you the equipment that you need. And God has given you the Word of God so that you can stand on the surety of what he has said. Amen? We don't just stand on our thoughts, and we don't stand on what a commentator said or what a preacher said, because a preacher can get you worked up in emotions. But the Word of God found you down on the ground so you know what you're standing on. God has given you the Word of God so that you can know that the rock that you stand on is unmovable, unbreakable, unshakable. Jesus said that Word of God will remain. Amen? Amen. That not one of it's going to pass. Not one of it's going to pass. Amen. You can stand on the Word of God. You know that there's people that burn the Bible? There's people that have tried to gather all the Bibles and burn them because they didn't like the Bible. Amen. And you know what they found out? You can't beat God. You can't beat God. Amen. God will always have his word there. He said it will remain. Amen. One of the things I want to share with you on this is that when the enemy, if you look back on that in verse number 2, it says that their minds... They made their minds evil affected against the brethren, against church folks. The devil will bring division in a house. He'll bring division in the house of God. He'll bring division in a marriage. He'll bring division between a mother and a daughter, or a father and a son. The enemy will bring division between friends, prayer partners. He'll bring division any way he can. That's one of the methods he uses. One of the things that you'll know that the enemy's at work is whenever you begin to dislike the church, when you begin to dislike church folks, when you begin to tear down church folks, you're on the warning track there. You're on the warning track when you begin to tear down church folks. I want to tell you that the church, although a lot of the church is not the church. How many of you know there's some that call themselves, they ain't the church. But you got to be careful when you talk about church folks, because the church is the bride of Christ. And Paul got blinded for coming against the church. So you got to be careful when you do that. Another way that the enemy will evil excite your mind is thinking, making you think that people don't love you, making you think that God don't love you. If they really cared about me, they would have brought me a pot roast over. If they really cared about me, they would have called me. Amen. I used to know someone like that in my life. They would always get mad. Every time I called them, they'd be like, well, you know, I've been waiting on you to call. That's what I've been doing. And I would say, well, you know, the phone works two ways, don't you? If you're waiting on me, then just pick up the phone and call. I'm not going to ignore your call. Amen. But a lot of times the enemy will plant those thoughts in people's heads, and they will begin to think that people don't love them, or God don't love them, or the church don't care about them. That's a lie from the devil. Amen. If you're a blood-bought, Spirit of God-filled child of God, I want you to know, in the house of God, you're loved. God loves you, and every other blood-bought, Spirit-filled child of God loves you too. That's a command of God. Amen? Another way that the enemy will evil work on you is you'll begin to get upset because you don't feel like you're rewarded like you should be. Well, I've served God for 8 months now. Man, I still got a mortgage. I thought if I served God, I wouldn't have to pay my bills no more. You've been watching and listening to the wrong folks. God said, if you're going to eat, you need to work. I mean, when Adam sinned, that curse was placed on us. And by the sweat of our brow, we got to work. And that's how we eat. Amen. Even the children of God, whenever they were in the desert and God gave them manna, they still had to go out and pick it up. Amen. They didn't get it in a check in the mail from the government. They had to go gather it. And they had to gather it in precise ways. But the reality is, a lot of people, they'll get sidetracked because they'll say, well, I've served God for 8 months and now my marriage is on the rocks. See, the devil's done planted a thought in your head. Amen. The devil's done planted a thought in your head. Or I've served God for 8 years, and now it seems like my child is far away. Well, stop thinking that you should be rewarded for loving God. He's the prize. I mean, if God doesn't give us another thing, He's given us His Holy Spirit. He's given us a future and an inheritance in heaven. Amen. And if God never gives us another acorn, if God never gives us another breath of oxygen, if God never gives us another nothing, amen, He's given us a future. He's given us a home in heaven. He's adopted us by His Spirit into the family of God. He gave us everything when He went to the cross. And if He never gives us another acorn, so be it. Amen. Still, my heart will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He gives and He takes away, but yet my heart will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. That's how you take those devil's thoughts and you turn them around, because the enemy will get you to focus on, I've served God for 4 months and I still got a mortgage. These other people, they don't have to work as hard as I do. They don't have to live with who I got to live with. They don't have to go through what I got to go through. Amen. How many of you know we all got problems? My pastor used to say, your problems are a molehill, a mine, or a mountain. Amen. When you look at someone else, you go, oh, I could get through that easy. You should live in my shoes. And then you get in their shoes and you go, whoa, this is a mountain too. We all got problems. We all have problems, but the reality is, if you focus on not having this and they have that and this and that, what the reality is you've stopped focusing on Jesus. You may still have religious veneer on it. You may still use religious language. But the prize of your heart has shifted from God to a mortgage or a marriage or a promise. The prize of your heart has moved off the hope of Jesus. And I want to tell you, when that happens, the devil's done planted a thought in you. When that happens, the devil's done planted a thought. I want to share something with you in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you'll turn with me over there, 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. What you'll see here is that this mode of attack is something that God has given us a forewarning about. It's because God wants you to be prepared. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." How many of you walk in the flesh? How many of you live in the flesh today? If somebody hits you in the flesh, you're not supposed to hit them back with a cast iron skillet, is what he's saying. We don't war like that. Your flesh wants to, but that's not how you war. If you war in the flesh, the devil's got you. You talk to me, I'll talk to you. You do me wrong, I'll do you wrong. You come at me, I'm going to come at you. That's nothing but pride and flesh and vanity. And that's a trap that the enemy sets in the church of Jesus Christ to keep us impotent and powerless from the Spirit of God. Listen, you can't go against God's word and have God's blessing at the same time. You can't serve two masters. Choose the road you're going to walk on, but stop playing hopscotch between the both. If you're going to say that you serve God and you're walking in the power of the Spirit, stop warring in the flesh. You want to be bad? Hear these people get all prideful. Oh, you coming at me? I'm coming at you. You want to go down that road? You go right ahead, but you're not going down that road with the Holy Ghost. That's not how we war. It says in that verse, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are carnal. You got a problem on your hands? Stop looking for carnal solutions. Stop looking for carnal solutions. This is a way that the enemy sidetracks you from the purpose of God, is to get you focused on how a carnal solution would help you. My help comes from above. My God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He is my help. He is my rock. My help comes from above. Stop focusing on carnal solutions. Look to God. He hasn't failed one of his children that have waited on him. He hasn't failed one of his children that waits on him. It says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'm going to stop right there, but I want you to see that one of the resources that God has given you is the Word of God here to equip you to know that when imaginations and thoughts come against you and against the Word of God, there is a requirement. Somebody say requirement. There is a requirement on your behalf. And if you don't do it, the enemy is going to wear you out. God's given you the resource. Amen? God's given you the resource. And if you don't take those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, guess what? Is it God's fault? It's getting real in here, right? It's not God's fault if we don't take those thoughts captive. When you allow those thoughts to come in between your ears and you allow those thoughts to begin to evil affect you and you don't take those thoughts captive, it's not God's fault. He told you what to do right here. He said, take those thoughts captive. This is why it's so important for you to know the Word of God. You know why? Because most of us, we can't tell our right hand from our left hand spiritually. The Word of God tells us what's of God and what's not of God. That's how you know. And so every thought that comes between your ears must be filtered through the Word of God. Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, try the Spirit to see if it's of God. Everything that comes against you, when you have these thoughts, run it through Scripture. Run it through there. When you start getting evil affected against the church, when you start getting evil affected against the bride of Christ, I don't have to go to church. Where'd that thought come from? I don't have to go. I don't have to pray like that. I don't have to study the Bible. I don't have to pray in the Holy Ghost. I don't need to go to church. You can go to church. I don't need to go to church. Well, we know where that thought came from, but the problem is you letting it stay there is going to cause harm and damage, and it's going to continue to spiral out of control and do the damage that the devil wants. Remember what I told you? The devil doesn't pretend. He doesn't play with his food. He doesn't play patty cake. He comes to devour. And if you allow ungodly thoughts to settle in between your ears, the devouring is beginning even now. You may say, well, I don't know how to do this. I already told you God's enough. You don't know how to do anything else? Call on the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, whenever Peter was sinking, Peter was following Jesus out in the water. Nobody else had ever done that before. Jesus walked on the water. He told Peter, come walk on the water. Here comes Peter walking on the water. There's no manual for that. Where's the manual for walking on water? What did he do? Jesus said, come. He went. And when he started sinking, you know what? He didn't look through the manual. What do I do when I'm sinking? He didn't start confessing scripture. He didn't look up words in the Hebrew. You know what he did? He called on Jesus. He said, help. Help. Amen. And I want to tell you, when you have ungodly thoughts coming into your life and you begin to think things you shouldn't be thinking, and you begin to be focused on things that you know you shouldn't be focused on, and you begin to talk, you know, words that you know you shouldn't be talking, you call on the name of Jesus first and foremost. He's enough. Amen. But one of the things that the requirement is that you take these thoughts captive. Listen, if you don't take these thoughts captive, the enemy's infiltrated your life. If you don't take it captive, the enemy's infiltrated you. How many of you know that when the enemy's behind the lines, that's a bad thing? It's a bad thing when you got the enemy behind the line. And if you don't take these thoughts captive, that's what you've allowed. So you have to take them captive. And just real briefly, I'll tell you this. The way that you do that, if you want to have your T's crossed and your I's dotted, you look in the Word of God for the contrast. Amen. The Word of God says, turn the other cheek. But you got a cast iron skillet in your hand because somebody done said that you was ugly. The way that you combat it is you say, God, I really want to hit this person in the head with this cast iron skillet, but your word says to turn the other cheek. And so I rebuke this thought in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to show them the love of Christ. That's how you take that thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. You find the corresponding passage in there. You do the work. You look up. I mean, we have resources. You can get the Bible apps. Amen. You can look on your Bible app. You can search for scriptures. But the reality is if you don't do that, you're losing out. Because the requirement here is to take these thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Amen. A couple of things that the devil wants to do is he wants to corrupt your reasoning and your understanding and corrupt your faith as well. You may think this is a new thing, a novel thing. Probably one of the most wicked kings in the Bible was Ahab. How many of y'all remember Ahab? A wicked king. Wicked king. Let me show you something about Ahab. Turn with me to 1 Kings. Just one verse. 1 Kings 21. Let me show you something about Ahab. Ahab had the same problem you got. Did you know that? 1 Kings 21, look at verse number 25. When you allow the wrong people into your life, when you listen to the wrong voices, when you compromise with your friendships, when you compromise, when you know these people don't know God, but you let them give you advice. When you know that they don't know the Spirit of God, they don't operate in the power of the Holy Ghost. When you know that they're not born again, but you have an intimate relationship and they can speak into your life, you're on dangerous ground. dangerous ground. Amen. If you take the advice from somebody, you need to take advice from a Holy Ghost-filled person. You need to take advice from a saint of God that's been through the storm, that's been through the fire. Amen. It's been through that flood. You need to go to someone that's had experience in battles before. One of my heroes in the faith, oh, Brother Ravenhill, he used to say it takes 20 years to make a man of God. He said, he didn't listen to anybody unless he knew that they had served God for 20 years. It takes 20 years to make a man of God. That's why one of the requirements for the pastor, the bishop in the Word of God, we always talk, it's got to be the husband of one wife, not given to wine, not angry, not a striker, but the other part of it is not a novice. Not a novice. God wants the leaders of the church to have that experience. They've weathered storms. They've called on the name of the Most High God in a trying time. They know where to go in the Word of God for trials and tribulations. Amen. They know how to pray. Amen. And you see through that the perseverance. So when you go through these situations and you have people in your life that don't know God, you have relationships with people that they're not walking with God, and then you're going to let them give you advice. You're going to let them tell you some old cliche bumper sticker, old wives' tale. And you're going to go into left field, stop serving God because the bumper sticker slogan that they told you sounds pretty catchy. It says in verse number 25 that there was none like unto Ahab. None. Y'all know what the Hebrew word for none is? None. There was none like Ahab. There was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. This man Ahab, now, and I'll tell you, Jezebel, we can go down that road. Jezebel, it was so wicked, so demonic, that spirit of Jezebel is still operating in the world today, and it'll still be operating when Jesus comes. You can read about Jezebel in the book of Revelation. Jezebel's still at work, and you know what she's doing? She's stirring up people the wrong way. She had her husband here, and he was wicked. He wasn't right with God. But you know what she did? She fanned that flame of wickedness. She stirred him up, excited him, roused him up to keep going down that wicked path. This man didn't have a chance. This man didn't have a chance because not only did he not know God, not only did he not serve God, but he married into an ungodly family, and he allowed this woman to speak into his life, and she didn't know God. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people in the church today that they get derailed, detoured, discouraged, and they walk away from God simply because, not because they stopped loving God, but they allowed people into their life to speak into their life and to detour them from the path of God. And this man got stirred up in the wrong way. I showed you in Acts 14 that those unbelieving Jews stirred up the Greeks. They stirred them up for evil thoughts. And here you see Jezebel, she stirs up too. There's a stirring in the devil's camp, and he loves to stir up. And I want to know if he can stir you up or not. Because you either going to be stirred up by the devil or stirred up by the Spirit of God. And if you aren't bubbling over in the Holy Ghost, I want to tell you, all the devil's got to do is turn you a little bit. You're going to get stirred up the wrong way. Why, they done parked in my parking spot. I talk about this all the time because it's silly, but you would not believe some of the stuff I hear. Wow, that's just the last time I'm coming. Only three people shook my hand and gave me a hug. As opposed to four. Like four would have settled it for you. But people get excited and stirred up. Now you know what I'm talking about, don't you? People get all stirred up, bent out of shape. They get bent out of shape the wrong way. Amen. Look, if you're going to get stirred up, you're going to get excited. You need to get excited in the Holy Ghost and stop getting excited in Satan. Stop getting excited in the devil's camp. Amen. Start saying, praise God, three people hug my neck. Amen. I got some brothers and sisters that love me. Amen. Hallelujah. The reality is you have to be stirred up. If you're not stirred up in the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, you're going to get stirred up by the devil. That's the reality. That's the reality. And there's people that they'll name the name of Jesus and they'll talk about the Holy Spirit and maybe they knew God at one time. But I want to tell you, each and every one of you know this. If you know God, you know this. If you take your foot off the gas pedal, you stop praying in the Holy Ghost, you stop pressing through. Look, it takes work. It takes sweat to prevail in prayer. You have to travail. You have to cry out. You have to pour out your soul before God. And sometimes your flesh don't want to do that. Amen. Then you start coasting. And that's who I'm speaking to right now. Because when you start coasting, you stopped being stirred up by the Holy Ghost and you're on dangerous ground. You're on dangerous ground when you're not stirred up by the Spirit of God anymore. When you're not excited for the things of God, when you're not excited to share the gospel, when you're not excited to pray with one of your brothers and sisters, you know somebody's going through a hard time, you should be excited. Hallelujah. Let's fight this battle together. One can chase 1,000, two can chase 10,000. Amen. Let's put the devil on his backside. Amen. Let's gather together in the name of Jesus. Let's grab hands. Let's bind that thing in the name of Jesus. The Spirit of God is a warrior. Amen. God is a warrior. God is a God of war. He's the Lord of hosts. He is a man of battle. Amen. And the Word of God says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And God is looking for people to get stirred up and start taking the kingdom of God by force, by getting excited and stirred up in the Holy Ghost. Instead of this willy-nilly, fuddy-duddy, roly-toly, oh, well, you know. God's looking for people to get stirred up in the Spirit. And I want to tell you this morning that if you don't get stirred up in the Spirit, the devil's going to stir you up. If you don't get stirred up in the Spirit, the devil's going to stir you up. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to just touch on this real briefly about your mind. Your mind. 1 Peter chapter 1. When you get stirred up, when the enemy can stir you up, it's because you're not keeping your mind right with God. Whenever somebody's not stirred up in the Spirit of God, something's happened. And I want to tell you, God operates in very simplistic ways. Very simplistic ways. You know, it says in the book of Jeremiah that it's old paths. There's old paths. That narrow road, it's an old path. It's old. God makes new walkways where there was none. Amen. How many of you know God's a way maker? He's a way maker. He makes a way where there was no way. But every way he makes is laid on an old path. It's an old path. God still works when his people pray. When his people fast. God still works when his people travail in the Spirit before him. When people fall on their face and call on the name of the Most High and let go of every other thing and hold on to the one thing. God still works when his people press on in Jesus' name. There's old paths, repentance, faith. There's old paths that God's looking for us to get on. And a lot of times when the enemy begins to work in our life, it's because we've strayed from the old path. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't have the joy of the Holy Ghost in you, if you're not bubbling over with the joy of the Lord, it's because you haven't been in the presence of God. It's a whole path. You don't have no joy? Pray in the Holy Ghost. This ice storm, you know, being inside, I get it. Being inside, locked away, I get it. But God hasn't changed. His method hasn't changed. It's still an old path. And if you pray in the Holy Ghost, guess what? His joy don't care if it's cloudy and cold outside. Amen? The joy of the Lord is still my strength. Even when there's ice outside, even when my body don't feel like it once did, even though I don't work like I once should and could, but the joy of the Lord is still my strength. And when I pray in the Spirit of God, when I pray in the Holy Ghost, guess what? I get encouraged. The Spirit of God comes on me. Amen. Amen. It's an old path, ain't it? Amen. It's an old path. But the reality is, if you don't operate in that old path, if you don't stay on that thing, then you're going to find yourself going the wrong direction. It says in verse number 13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. How many of y'all know what sobriety is? Come on. You can't be filled with two different things at the same time. Be sober. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, look at the very beginning of that verse. God said, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. The word gird up there, when they had robes, how many of you know that in Bible times they wore robes, right? They wore robes. And whenever they would go to run, they would gird up the long skirt, basically. They would tie a rope around the legs so that they could run and not trip over it. Amen. When God says gird up your mind, what he's telling you is all the things. How many of you got thoughts in your head right now? How many of you know you may be thinking about SWEBCO. You may be thinking about bills to pay. You may be thinking about errands you got to run. You may be thinking about people you need to talk to, things you got to do. Preacher needs to hurry up because I got to go do something, right? These are all strings. These are all long things flowing through our mind. And the Bible says, gird them up. In other words, grab hold of all those thoughts and tie them together to the name of Jesus. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. What that means is take all those thoughts that just go all kinds of different directions and rein them in. Rein them in. Look, you cannot think about 20 things at the same time. The Bible says, Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, that the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with part of your mind, part of your heart. No. With what? All your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. I want you to listen to all your mind. You can't have your mind on 20 different things and love God the way you're supposed to love God. Gird up the loins of your mind. You got thoughts going all kinds of different directions. You're going to get on the wrong path. God said, gird up the loin of your mind. In other words, take all those thoughts and rein them back in to the captivity of Jesus. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is spiritual warfare. And if you think that you're going to fulfill the plan of God of your life, if you think you're going to be all that God wants you to be, and you don't love God with all your mind, think about it. I'm not talking about all the sincerity in you. I believe every person in here is sincere. But we all know, if you have kids, you know this. You can be sincere, but you can be sincerely wrong too. The kid will tell you that, right? Sincerity is not the mark we're looking for. Purity. And the Word of God here says that you have a call of God on your life to gird that up. Gird it up. And that means to gather all those thoughts, every one of those tentacles, every one of those thoughts that begins to think wayward, contrary, off-track things. Gird them up and pull them back to Jesus and let your focus be on Him. First thing, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength. If you miss the mark on those things, you're not going to walk in the fullness of the Lord. You're not going to walk. You're not going to have the power of God at work in your life. You cannot have your mind scattered on 80,000 different things and have the power of God in your life. You have to be singular. You have to be singular. You cannot. How many of you in here can serve two masters? In heart. In mind, in soul, or in strength. You cannot serve two masters in your heart, in your soul, in your mind, or with your strength, can you? And that's one of the lies that the devil has given the church, is that we can have our mind on 80,000 different things and still be who God's called us to be. It ain't gonna happen. It ain't gonna happen. This is how you get evil excited against the church. When the enemy can plant these thoughts, when your mind's not solely on God, when you don't have a purpose and a passion for loving God, for being in His presence, for being filled with His Spirit, for doing what God's called you to do, you will get evil excited on something. You may not get evil excited about the color of the carpet or somebody parking in your spot, but you will get evil excited about something. The devil plants those thoughts for a purpose. The devil plants those thoughts for a purpose. And the Word of God tells us to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This morning, I want to tell you that God's call on your life is to have your mind girded up. Girded. The word gird is a command, not a suggestion. A lot of times you'll hear me say this, just like the Great Commission. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. I know in the church today, everybody thinks, you know, well, you do that and I don't have to. But the Word of God here is extremely abundantly clear. How many of you believe that God said, "Be ye holy, for I'm holy"? How many of you believe that's a command, not a suggestion? How many of you know that our God's holy? And when you leave this world and you go to that one, it's a holy world. We live in an unholy world. But God's called you out. You separated unto God. You're a peculiar people. You're a light in darkness. You're salt in a decaying and dead world. You are the called out from among them, separated unto God, pure and undefiled. And God is holy, and He's called you to be that too. Amen. It is a command from God. And just as much as there's a command of God over your life to be holy and separated unto God, there's the same command to gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up your mind. And if you don't do that, the enemy's going to work you over, just like Jezebel worked over Ahab. Just like these unbelieving Jews worked over those Greeks that started believing, the enemy will work you over. I want to tell you in closing, there are a lot of people that have loved God that have gotten derailed. How many of you believe that? They loved God, but they got derailed. And I'm telling you, if you don't gird up your minds, fixed on Christ, if you don't love God with all your mind, the enemy is going to invade, and he's going to corrupt, and he's going to begin to destroy. There's something to be said for discernment. You need to have discernment. You need to know the voice of God speaking into your life. And part of it, like I said, is knowing the Word of God. But the other part is simply knowing, above everything else, God's enough. You may not know how to fight your way out of a wet paper bag. You may not be a spiritual warrior. You may not have the aptitude, but you have the name. Amen. And there is a name that you can call on, and that name is above every name. That name, there's no other name given under heaven whereby you must be saved but the name of Jesus Christ. And he said that if you would call on his name, he would answer your prayer. If you would call on the name of Jesus, he would come to you. I don't know what your battle is, but I know who your answer is. And if you'll come to Jesus, I want you to know that the light of God will come to you. Call on the name of Jesus and you shall be saved. Amen. He said, all those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you call on his name, he'll come. He'll come. Amen. This morning, you're either being stirred up against the plan and the purpose that God has for your life, or you're being stirred up in the Holy Ghost. And God gives you the choice. God gives you the choice. I want to tell you this morning, we're going to pray for you, but I want to give you opportunity to respond right now, and then we're going to open up our altars and let you have time with the Holy Ghost this morning. Father, we thank you for this morning, this opportunity to hear the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, for your truth. Lord, you said in your Word that we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. And God, I pray right now that every person that has been... But